97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Let's go, girls. Come on. I'm going out tonight. I'm feeling all right. Gonna let it all hang out. Wanna make some noise. Really raise my voice. Yeah, I wanna scream and shout.
Second Amendment Radio in the Great Outdoors. Here's one for the ladies on International Women's Month. How about that? Welcome into the show. Mark Cox here along with my partner Bo Matthews and producer Carl Middleman.
Hi.
Got a great show for you today. Male, female.
Yes, we do.
Whatever you identify as. We got a great show for you, don't we?
Great soundtrack. At the top of the show, I just want to mention thanks to everybody who put up with me pumping up the poker bash, but we did have grand success, raised over $61,000 in one day.
That's amazing.
And it is amazing. And Chief Wiegand is so excited. It's to support those Eureka police officers out there. It's a great community. It's a growing community. They're growing by leaps and bounds. And Mark, thank you so much for spending so much time on your Sunday playing and hanging out. I didn't have hardly 2 seconds to talk to you because it was so dang busy, but it was a great event.
Yeah, Bo, thank you for letting me take part. Now, did you make the final table this year?
No. I didn't, but I did make it through the fourth break. You know, remember we took breaks like every 45 minutes to an hour? I made it through the fourth break. I'm breathing easy. I still got a small, stack of chips, chipping a chair, as they say, and I got knocked out on the first hand. Right after that fourth break.
I didn't even make the second break, so you were doing great.
Are you serious?
Oh, yeah. You put that bounty on my head, and some nice lady knocked me out pretty quickly there. So,
well, it was International Women's Month. So
it's true. Yeah. That's true.
You're welcome.
I wasn't getting any good cards. I don't know whoever was dealing, and I was dealing sometimes, obviously, as we moved around. I just never got any decent cards, right?
Yeah. Part of it's playing the game, but it's got a big part of the cards. But I do want to mention that it was interesting because we raffled off and we got rid of, we had a lot of winners of firearms. We had pistols, 22 pistols. We had shotguns. We had a Glock. We had a Henry, beautiful, beautiful gun. And, you know, we raised a lot of money just on the Glock and the Henry, thanks to Doc's Guns and Ammo out in Eureka for providing those. But here's the problem. This was the small hiccup that we had. The people that were buying the tickets for the raffle were both from Illinois. And the Glock could not be sold to that person because of the laws in Illinois.
Wow.
So the Eureka Police Officer Support Fund worked a deal with the guy. We gave him money that would have, paid for the Glock.
Right.
And he did go into docs and then bought a gun that was legal, probably a revolver, I guess, in Illinois. But yeah, that was kind of crazy.
I'll bet
that happened,
you know. Yeah. All of our friends in Illinois face those kind of challenges these days. That's a shame.
And that's the purpose of this this radio show, Second Amendment Radio on the Great Outdoors. But again, just overall, thank you, everybody, for donating, sponsoring, playing, spending time with us, drinking. We had a great time.
You know what I won, don't you? Silent auction item. You know what I won?
Oh, what?
Don't you? I managed to win the one-year membership to St. Louis Skeet and Trap.
Oh, did you really?
Very excited. I got a family membership to St. Louis Skeet and Trap. So I'm certain that my son and I are going to be utilizing that a lot because he's a much better shooter than I am. So
is this the point where I should ask you to adopt me so I can go under that same membership?
You can go with me. I think I can get the discount as long as you're with me.
I'll be your brother from another mother. How about that?
Brother Bo.
Matter of fact, coming up in May, St. Louis Skeet and Trap is doing a big event that we're going to talk about in a couple of weeks. That's exciting.
That was fantastic. And I appreciate all of your hard work. Seventh annual. So be sure and make your plans now for next spring to participate in the eighth annual, and we'll all have a good time together. You can see what a bad card player I am.
Right? Yeah, that's good stuff.
Hey, coming up, but we got lots of stuff to talk about, lots of moving parts this week. Did you see the Tucker Carlson tapes?
I did.
How about that?
I did. Now, this is interesting because his show has had those tapes for about 3 weeks. And if you haven't seen them, these are videos that you have never seen in all of the January 6th, investigation and all the TV shows that they did with it. This has rocked the world, but you know what? You're not seeing it everywhere. So you really got to hunt it down.
It's kind of sad. The other media, instead of asking for access to the same tape, are instead spending their time criticizing Tucker for showing it. And what's fascinating to me is who all is critical of it, including a lot of rhino Republicans like Mitt Romney and Mitch McConnell and others who didn't think the tape should be released. If you've watched it, and I've watched all that's been released, there's nothing in there other than high angle shots of the Capitol, the rotunda area, the hallways. There's nothing that gives away security clearance problems or anything like that. It just shows a different picture from what they want you to see. That's it.
Okay.
Period.
You were there that day. You were nearby that day in Washington, D.C. And as I was watching it, because I rewatched it last night, actually, and I wanted to ask you, the feeling of outside, outside of the Capitol building that day, did you feel that it was organized? Did you feel like the it was an armed insurrection? We've heard these words hammered over and over and over. And then I saw Chuck Schumer in the House saying Tucker Carlson should not be able to play, any more of these videos that he put out last night. Rupert Murdoch, you should take down that show. Well, my goodness. Talk about getting your hand caught in the candy jar.
He wants to censor because it doesn't fit their narrative. No, Bo, I was in the crowd at the Ellipse. I listened to the president speak. I walked down Constitution Avenue to the Capitol building for a rally. That's what was supposed to happen there. Everybody gathered out on the lawn. And then up in the front, probably 75 yards in front of where we were, suddenly we hear some flashbangs. We're not quite sure what's going on because we weren't there to go in the Capitol building. We were there to listen to speakers outside. And the next thing you know, there's tear gas. There's, you can see something's happening. We were far enough back in the crowd. None of that was clear to us. So it's just what Tucker said this week. There were a group of agitators. Capitol Police should have been warned in advance that they were coming. There was plenty of intelligence up front that they were coming. Nothing was done about it. There were no additional preparations taken. The fencing
there were requests put in.
Yeah, the fencing that went up didn't go until afterwards. Well, that's too late. They could have avoided that whole thing. Instead, somebody allowed it to happen so they could hang it around the neck of Donald Trump. And I don't think there's any doubt about that. The fact that we're just now seeing the video is also disturbing because there's no security issue involved here. It's
so
video.
A question.
Yeah.
Question for only somebody that was there is, I remember seeing the people climbing the walls outside the Capitol building.
Yes.
In your memory, do you remember, did that climbing and that Planet of the Apes kind of feel, was it after the flashbangs or was it before? Were they
some of it was after, right? Some of it was people wanting to get a better view. Probably, because if you were up higher, you would be able to see people who were speaking or whatever. You'd be able to see the audience a little better. Others were people who decided they were going to go up and go inside the Capitol, which was dumb. The Capitol was closed. Most of the people there didn't go there to go inside the Capitol because they knew they couldn't get in the Capitol. So I think you had people who intended to get in, who were agitators. You had other people who got caught up in the moment who went in. You got people like the QAnon shaman guy who got convicted of leading this whole thing. And if you look at the video of him walking through the Capitol with officers who were completely unconcerned about the guy, they were opening doors for him. You really start to question the narrative that we've been told about January 6th. And you should be applauding what Tucker Carlson's doing, not criticizing it, because the public needs to know this.
And if you are opposed to watching Fox News, that's fine. Go find it on a different source. Now, by now, it's kind of like the Twitter files. It eventually is, getting on different platforms. So hopefully you will see it. If you haven't, this is the biggest story. They compared to 9/11 and many battles before. go watch the videos. This is what the Second Amendment and the great outdoors is all about.
Absolutely.
You need
coming
to
up,
protect yourself.
We're going to, speaking of protecting yourself, we're going to talk to Missouri Senator Nick Schroer, find out his thought. He was a co-sponsor on the SAPA legislation. A federal judge has thrown it out this week. We're going to get an update from him. And also, we're going to talk to Emily Porter in honor of International Women's Month and more women getting involved in the hunting and shooting sports. It's coming up on Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors.
Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Mark Cox, Bo Matthews, and Carl Middleman, our executive producer, is always part of the show. This segment is brought to you by Razorback Armory. And matter of fact, I was at Razorback Armory this week, awarding the winner from the Poker Bash of that G-Force Arms 12-gauge, Tom Keatley. He owns Saucy's, who donated all the pork for our Poker Bash, but congratulations to him. And he actually won the same gun 2 years ago. But you know what? You can't complain about that.
How many tickets
did he buy? And it's not rigged. It's not rigged. He bought one.
You're kidding me.
Anyway, you want to learn more about the wonderful store that is Razorback Armory, go to RazorbackArmory.com, find their address, and get in there right off 270 on Manchester Road. All right, this guest is in the know of what's going on with the SAPA bill that was signed. It was signed and it was passed in 2021, but it is under fire, no pun intended. Missouri Senator Nick Schroer, good to talk to you again, sir. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, thank you for having me on.
Yeah, where are we at this hour? Because it seems like all the work that was done for the SAPA bill, it just seems like it's just didn't mean anything. Talk to me.
Well, you know, we knew the Democrats were going to try to challenge this, just like they did with my bill back in 2019, the heartbeat bill, just like they've done with any type of conservative action from the legislature. We knew that they were going to take this to the courts, and spoke with our Attorney General, Andrew Bailey. He indicated that he is fighting this thing, and he's very confident that the courts are going to take this up. It's going to go through the appellate process, and that's where it kind of gets a little shaky. So let's say we win on appeal, and then it gets up to the Supreme Court. Is the Supreme Court going to take it up? And this is quite silly, because when you look at the power of the states per the 10th Amendment of the U.S. Constitution, we have the ability to do a lot of things that aren't specifically given to the federal government within the founding documents. And this is one. When it comes to enforcement of federal laws, it's not on us. There's nothing in the Constitution that says that we have to use our resources, our people, our law enforcement officers to enforce federal law. And that's basically what the Second Amendment Preservation Act said, is, you know, if they're going to pass unconstitutional laws, especially this Biden administration that has said, hell yeah, we're going to take your guns, you're not going to use our people, our men and women, and put them at risk within the state of Missouri to enforce those laws. So that's why I'm very confident, the Attorney General is very confident, that this thing is going to be restored once it goes through the appellate process.
Yeah, I think so. Nick, good morning to you, my friend. Good to talk to you.
Yeah, thanks for having me on again.
Absolutely. You know, I heard Attorney Brad Young on with Mark Reardon earlier this week, and he said that he thinks there's two different things going on here. He believes that Missouri's on firm footing when it comes to their ability to tell police officers in Missouri that if there is a ruling that comes down from Washington that violates the rights of Missouri citizens, that we have a right as a state to tell our police officers not to cooperate in the enforcement of that.
100%.
Yeah, that's what he believes. Now, he thinks that if it comes to not enforcing some federal law or fighting against it or something like that, that may be something the court. What this judge did, he threw the whole thing out.
Yeah.
And I think that's why they're going to lose this on appeal.
Okay, keep in mind, back in 2019, when we passed the heartbeat bill, we knew the Democrats were going to come after that. They said it specifically when we filed the bill. Same thing happened with the Second Amendment Preservation Act. But the courts, through the process, the heartbeat bill, there was a three-judge panel in the Eighth Circuit that threw the whole thing out, but then they realized, holy cow, we screwed up. They, first time I've ever seen this happen, on their own motion, they went back in and they said, all right, we're going to have to rehear this thing. The courts do screw up. There are plenty of times when, you know, throughout my tenure in the Missouri House and on the Missouri Senate, or even when you just look back in history, where the courts don't get it right. And eventually these rights are made whole. And I think this one is going to be the same thing. I think we've got a judge wanting to legislate from the bench who's not reading the entirety of this bill. This thing has been ran over by tons of attorneys in the process of getting it to the Missouri House floor, to the Missouri Senate floor. I spoke with Senator Eric Burleson, who's now a congressman, and he was very specific to work with law enforcement groups, to work with legal advocates for the Second Amendment, that made sure that when this thing did go through the courts, it was going to be made lawful, so to speak, and not be turned over by these rogue judges. So yeah, I'm confident after speaking with our attorney general, he's got a team fighting this right now. And the way that this is structured, looking at a lot of attorneys who've commented on this, I think we are going to get this thing restored sooner rather than later.
Yeah, Nick, I don't know if you even know the answer to this, but I do know, speaking to a number of police chiefs in the area, they did have some concerns about some of the wording in this bill. It was my understanding that some of those police chief organizations had brought a legal challenge. Is that the one this judge ruled on, or is this from a different group? Do we know?
I'm not sure. I think this is from a different group. I could be mistaken, but I do know specifically when the bill was in limbo between the Missouri House and the Missouri Senate, these law enforcement groups are brought in because there were some concerns with some of the amendments that were put on. We addressed those amendments and met all of the concerns from these law enforcement groups and the lobbyists, the guys that are paid to advocate for these groups that, you know, meet with them on a daily basis, come up and say, hey, here's the concerns. Here's our language that we would recommend you put in here to fix it. And all of that was done. The sponsors in the House and Senate worked with law enforcement groups. So that's why I was kind of taken aback when there were some individuals that came out saying, you know, they were not kept in the process. They were not educated on what this bill did. But to your question, I don't know if law enforcement groups are the ones that challenge us. I think this is coming from a left wing radical group that, you know, had this in their sights ever since the day that it was filed.
All right.
Yeah. Missouri Senator Nick Schroer is our guest on Second Amendment Radio on the Great Outdoors. You know, for those people that live in Missouri because of the gun laws, that you can conceal carry, heck, you can open carry in a lot of places. Why should people that don't really engage with what's going on in Jeff City right now, why should they care about this story?
Well, I think, you know, when it comes to, again, our constitutional rights, our states' rights, I'm a huge believer in our states' rights. And when you look at the Constitution, you look at the 10th Amendment, there are things that are specifically given to the federal government. The rest comes to the states and the people therein. I've seen through my lifetime those rights being dwindled away, the federal government stepping in and taking some of these states' rights. So this is a states' rights issue, just like we saw with the Dobbs decision and overturning Roe v. Wade. There's nothing in the U.S. Constitution that says there's a right to an abortion. That is a states' rights issue. So I think if you were wanting to protect the Constitution, if you're wanting to protect your Second Amendment rights, you are going to want this decision by the judge that took away the Second Amendment Preservation Act to restore it, to ensure that our 10th Amendment rights are being honored. And, you know, we've got a lot of good bills. I presented two strong Second Amendment bills this week in committee. Hopefully they're going to get voted out as soon as we get back from this legislative break, which that's a whole different story, which I'm upset about.
I covered that this week on my show. Yes.
Yeah. I heard you on Friday with a colleague of mine. We are not happy whatsoever. There are a lot of good issues that we could have stayed in, could have addressed these issues. And I'm hopeful a lot of these things are going to get addressed once we get back from this unnecessary break.
Well, Nick, let's talk about those other bills you were talking about. Is that SB 224? Because We've got a crime problem in St. Louis. We've had a crime problem on the metro trains forever. Didn't you introduce a bill that would modify the provisions, maybe to allow concealed carry holders to carry on transit?
Yeah, and that's a similar bill, identical language from my predecessor, Senator Bob Onder, who
yes.
he had sponsored this. He had passed it out of the House. Adam Schnelting, which I know you've had him on your weekly show. He's sponsored in the House, and you know, we pass it back and forth. We've never gotten it to the governor's desk. So that was one, 224, which I'm very hopeful that this thing's going to get passed out of the committee, hit the Senate floor very soon. But yeah, we do have a crime problem from Kansas City, Columbia to St. Louis. I can just pull up article after article of criminals not abiding by the law, not abiding by the prohibition that says you cannot take your guns on public transit. Criminals aren't listening to that, and people are being victimized. People are being murdered. They're being injured, and you can see that in the very biased media. They're still reporting on that stuff. So this would allow Missourians to lawfully carry, law-abiding citizens to protect themselves going to and from work. A lot of them in these inner cities and poor neighborhoods, they don't have the ability to buy a car. They don't have the ability to get to work any other way than public transit. So this would give them the equal footing that you and I have when we've got our concealed carry on in our vehicle. This would allow them to protect themselves, whether they're walking to the bus stop, walking home, or being on the bus, which we've seen a lot of people victimized. And then similarly, 225, the next bill after that, was one that I've had passed out of the House even just last year, which it's a sword and a shield effect for the Second Amendment. If you're going into a business as a business invitee, if I am stripped of my right to protect myself, if you say, no, you can't carry your guns in here, then that business owner has the duty to protect you. So there is a cause of action. It is a very strict cause of action. You'd have to prove a lot of good stuff to show, but for that repeal, but for that gun-free zone, I would have been able to protect myself from whatever injury I sustained. That is the sword aspect of it. The shield aspect is if you are a business that is allowing people to lawfully conceal carry, then you will be protected from any liability that happens. So if somebody does pull their gun and protects themselves and the criminal, as we've seen so many times, if the criminal is going to try to go after the law-abiding citizen or the business owner who's got the deep pockets, they're going to be protected in Missouri courts by saying, no, look, you're a criminal. You violated this person's constitutional rights. There's consequences to it. You're not going to be able to sue me now.
Yeah, I love that.
Absolutely. Yep. Senator Nick Schroer is our guest. Just one more question. You know, I was looking at, I guess it was a Google map, just of the St. Louis metro area, and it is amazing how much St. Charles has just it's grown, it's packed in. So I would think that, you know, mass transit would be, you know, wanting to go out that way, you know, from the city, from St. Louis County out there, so people can, you know, shop and they can work and use mass transit, which, you know, it seems like our mass transit is just stalled so many years ago, unless you consider mm-hmm. the trolley. But with the idea of downtown St. Louis being so dangerous right now, the state takeover, the St. Louis Police Department, they say is moving close to the governor's desk this week. So where are we at on that?
Well, I'll tell you, you know, the whole mass transit issue coming out in St. Charles County, even though the Metrolink hasn't been expanded, even though mass transit hasn't been expanded, crime, the crime that Kim Gardner does not prosecute, that Tashara Jones allows within 100%. The city of St. Louis, it seemed to make its way out there, despite the fact that we don't have Metrolink. It's coming out in St. Charles County anyway. So, yeah, we need to address the crime aspect before we even have a conversation on expanding mass transit. But no, the police bill, which is one that I've sponsored in the Senate, it has made its way from the House over to us. So hopefully that's going to be a bill we're going to deal with as soon as we come back. The special prosecutor allowing the governor to appoint the attorney general or someone, possibly Nick Schroer. I'm kidding. He's not going to appoint me, but I would love that if he would appoint me to tag team with Kim Gardner and actually prosecute these criminals. But no, those are things that, you know, the momentum has built up. We've got these bills moving forward in the House. We've got them moving forward in the Senate, very close to the governor's desk. So these are reasons why I am incredibly upset. We decided to take a quote unquote spring break instead of doing the people's work. But these are things I've got my sights on, protecting our Second Amendment rights, getting rid of all the crime in the city of St. Louis. So we can have those conversations about how we can expand mass transit, how we can allow people to go to and from a safe city instead of the hellhole that St. Louis has become.
Missouri Senator Nick Schroer, District 2, we appreciate your time, my friend. Thank you. Keep up the good work.
Absolutely. God bless you guys.
Yeah, we'll have you on again soon. Good to get Nick on here, get an update on all of that stuff, particularly the SAPA court challenge.
I actually call him Senator Nick Norris because I believe he's Chuck Norris's Chuck Norris. You know, long lost brother. Have you seen the beard the guy grows? My gosh,
I have. And if you go to his office, I assume this has moved from his house to his Senate office. Although I haven't been to his Senate office down there yet. He's got a copy of Lucille, the bat
walking tall
from Walking Dead. Walking Tall. Yeah, that too. That what was that bat called? It was called something else. Anyway, he's got the copy of that bat with the
barbed wire
wrapped around the end of it, framed in his office. So that's probably that's a very good point you made there. Hey, you know what here on Second Amendment Radio in the Great Outdoors, you know what we embrace? Women. And it's International Women's Month, and we want to recognize them, and in honor of that, we're going to talk about the huge role women are playing in the hunting sports, the shooting sports in Missouri these days. Some new numbers are out. We're going to talk to Emily Porter from the Missouri Department of Conservation when we come back. Radio in the Great Outdoors. Carl Middleman bringing the heat here with the music this morning. We appreciate that, Carl. Thank you.
You're welcome.
He's so thoughtful.
He is. He really is.
It's International Women's Month, Mark.
And we embrace that. We celebrate that. Bo, I took my daughter to the range the other day.
Nice.
Again, I mean, I've taken her a number of times, but I want her to learn to be comfortable. Took a pistol, a couple of semi-automatic handguns, got her used to it, talked to her about safety. Again, those things are important as we're bringing up strong women in this world. And Emily Porter is with us this morning from the Missouri Department of Conservation. She is a recreational use specialist with the department. And Emily, happy International Women's Month.
Hey, thank you so much. And thanks for the invitation to come on with you guys today.
Yeah, we're thrilled. We're thrilled we could get you on. We are. You know, I was just mentioning trying to get my own daughter a little more interested in, or at least educated in shooting sports. Maybe you can give us a feel for what you're seeing on your end in terms of the interest women are showing in not just outdoor recreation, the shooting sports, and even hunting in Missouri.
Yeah, so it's thriving here in Missouri, and that's a trend we've seen over the last 15 to 20 years, but even just in the last 10. 2022, just to give you some numbers, you mentioned that your daughter might be interested, and in all of hunter education last year alone, over 30% of hunter education graduates were women. So we're seeing that number really be prominent, and we're seeing women wanting to take a stance and being able to find their relationship with nature and what that looks like. We're seeing a lot of even our women archery deer hunters here in Missouri. It's over 12%. Wow. So it's not just those weekenders wanting to go out and sit in a deer stand. It's actually women wanting to be active and participating. And 17% of hunters in Missouri, over 17% are women. And so we're seeing a lot of that interest peak and people finding ways to engage in nature in different ways that makes it their own.
Emily, I was raised by a strong woman in the 70s, was my most formative years. She was a single mom, business owner. And in the 70s, that was, you know, pretty impressive. What do you think the big push is? Is it for self-reliance or self-nurturing that there's this big push that women want to get out there? Or have they just been influenced, you know, by, you know, what they're seeing in the news? And do you think a lot of these women that are getting into the shooting sports or hunting, do you think a lot of them are single?
You know, I'm not sure if I would say a lot of them are single or not, but I can see a bigger trend in the last few years of women wanting to do it for themselves. And I mentioned, you know, you having gone out with your dad or gone out with your husband in the past, and that's something you can still do. But there's a shift now that's showing up where women are wanting to get out and engage in nature and you mentioned being self-reliant or being able to find their niche hobbies. And there's this trend moving on where, whether it's for training your dog and doing upland hunting or being self-reliant for your food sources, there's a lot of really food-driven motivators going on the last few years, and a lot of different demographics that are getting into hunting. But also shooting sports as a whole is being really that niche that is stress relieving. It's something that you can use to put your mind in a focus. But nature as a healing source has become a very big driver for anybody. And being able to do something outside that is able to take away all the stimulation that we have in the world and immerse yourself and be a very healing source for you has been something that I think a lot of people are recognizing, and women as a part of that conversation are realizing that as well.
I think that's great. We're talking to Emily Porter from the Missouri Department of Conservation. What was your path, Emily? What led you to this career, and were you already involved in hunting and all that prior to getting into the Missouri Department of Conservation?
Well, it's interesting. I moved around quite a bit as a kid growing up, and we lived a few different places across the Midwest in a few different states, and I grew up spring turkey hunting, and so seeing that interaction with nature and gobbling at something in the spring and having it gobble back at you was just the biggest excitement for me as a young child. And I got into shooting sports because I was in 4-H. I loved the independence that it required you to have to do. You know, whatever happens is because of you and your skills and the practice that you've put into it. And when I turned 16 and got my driver's license, the world became much bigger. I found that public land was such an outlet for me to learn and to use. And it wasn't like I had to call the landowner the night before to get permission to go. It was available for me. And living so many different places and going to college and being on your own, I found that that was a great outlet for the random schedule that I had, and being able to get away from it all while still being a sustainable food source for myself. I was a broke college kid, I think like many people are, and so deer meat became a very big staple in what I did, and waterfowl hunting was something. So that was all part of that story, but really what I do now is hoping to provide and working to provide more access for public land for people, whether that's through partner properties or MDC properties and urban deer hunting, and helping cities with installing an urban deer hunt opportunity for their community are all things that have really influenced how I got to where I am now.
Excellent.
Very well said. It's a cool story, and I think everybody gets into it a little bit differently. But you know, in the world of social media, everybody's got their nose in their phone. It's a nice break just to put the phone down, go into the woods, and do your thing. But when it comes to social media, there are a whole bunch of females that are influencers in the world of hunting. Christy Lee Cook, notably, was a top 10 finalist for American Idol. She's a huge hunting fan. And matter of fact, she's on the Browning Pro staff team. And I follow her on Instagram, and she's got Twitter and everything else too. But when it comes to, you know, people getting away from their phones, that is an issue. Although now the phones have apps that are, there are some tools that can help you along the way. That's how they get us, you know.
That's it. Yeah.
But you mentioned getting your driver's license, and that was your freedom. And so many people today, so many young people today, don't even have their driver's license at 25, 26 years old. I'm like, how do you do that?
Yeah, I don't know that.
That either. Is freedom, man.
Yes.
But anyway, so your life in the woods has definitely been a positive on your entire being, don't you think?
I would say yes, it is. And you mentioned social media, and as somebody who identifies as less than 35, I definitely use a lot of social media, and I'm a big Instagram user as well. And I think that it's really helped provide that support for each other and showing what you can do. Whether you're a big influencer on Instagram and social media, or you're somebody who's just on there socially, you know, checking in at night after work, those are things that you can do to support others and show, hey, this is something that you too can do. And that it's accessible, and it's not really, you know, as much as our influencers have all of the nice gear and they have the best of the best equipment, there's still ways to engage and do these activities with a low cost barrier and some of just the easiest, cheapest clothing and equipment you can. And here in Missouri, you know, we mentioned archery hunting earlier. It starts in September 15th, and it's still pretty warm outside, and there's a heck of a lot of daylight. And so for the early season, it doesn't have to be bitter cold. It doesn't have to be miserable weather. It doesn't have to be something that you spend 12 hours doing 10 miles from home. It can be as easy as an hour or two after work on a weeknight with just the simplest equipment and clothing.
Well, you know, I wanted
to
mention...
In your own backyard, too.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
That's a good point. Emily, I wanted to mention, I know you work in the Kansas City area. But I would imagine across the Missouri Department of Conservation, there are similar programs there that there would be here in the greater St. Louis area. Are there programs tailored to women? What are some of the things that you help promote?
There are some programs tailored to women. And so our entire education branch and our shooting range programming that we do, you've got the Bush Shooting Range there and a number of nature centers in the St. Louis area. They provide those programming for individuals who are looking at getting into conservation activities and recreation or getting into hunting for the first time. We also provide programs for people who are wanting to take it to that next level. So maybe you've had some experience getting into shooting sports and you're familiar with the basics of being outside, but you want to get into maybe a 102 or a little bit further class on what to do and how to make yourself a little bit more successful if you are hunting or shooting. And so checking out our Missouri website, our mdc.mo.gov website, under our event page, and that can list everything from what's closest to you to if there's a specific topic that you're interested in that you're okay with traveling a little ways for.
Second Amendment Radio in the Great Outdoors. Carl Middleman bringing the heat here with the music this morning. We appreciate that, Carl. Thank you.
You're welcome.
He's so thoughtful.
He is. He really is.
It's International Women's Month, Mark.
And we embrace that. We celebrate that. Bo, I took my daughter to the range the other day.
Nice.
Again, I mean, I've taken her a number of times, but I want her to learn to be comfortable. Took a pistol, a couple of semi-automatic handguns, got her used to it, talked to her about safety. Again, those things are important as we're bringing up strong women in this world. And Emily Porter is with us this morning from the Missouri Department of Conservation. She is a recreational use specialist with the department. And Emily, happy International Women's Month.
Hey, thank you so much. And thanks for the invitation to come on with you guys today.
Yeah, we're thrilled. We're thrilled we could get you on. We are. You know, I was just mentioning trying to get my own daughter a little more interested in, or at least educated in shooting sports. Maybe you can give us a feel for what you're seeing on your end in terms of the interest women are showing in not just outdoor recreation, the shooting sports, and even hunting in Missouri.
Yeah, so it's thriving here in Missouri, and that's a trend we've seen over the last 15 to 20 years, but even just in the last 10. 2022, just to give you some numbers, you mentioned that your daughter might be interested, and in all of hunter education last year alone, over 30% of hunter education graduates were women. So we're seeing that number really be prominent, and we're seeing women wanting to take a stance and being able to find their relationship with nature and what that looks like. We're seeing a lot of even our women archery deer hunters here in Missouri. It's over 12%. Wow. So it's not just those weekenders wanting to go out and sit in a deer stand. It's actually women wanting to be active and participating. And 17% of hunters in Missouri, over 17% are women. And so we're seeing a lot of that interest peak and people finding ways to engage in nature in different ways that makes it their own.
Emily, I was raised by a strong woman in the 70s, was my most formative years. She was a single mom, business owner. And in the 70s, that was, you know, pretty impressive. What do you think the big push is? Is it for self-reliance or self-nurturing that there's this big push that women want to get out there? Or have they just been influenced, you know, by, you know, what they're seeing in the news? And do you think a lot of these women that are getting into the shooting sports or hunting, do you think a lot of them are single?
You know, I'm not sure if I would say a lot of them are single or not, but I can see a bigger trend in the last few years of women wanting to do it for themselves. And I mentioned, you know, having gone out with your dad or gone out with your husband in the past, and that's something you can still do. But there's a shift now that's showing up where women are wanting to get out and engage in nature. And you mentioned being self-reliant or being able to find their niche hobbies. And there's this trend moving on where whether it's for training your dog and doing upland hunting or being self-reliant for your food sources, there's a lot of really food-driven motivators going on the last few years and a lot of different demographics that are getting into hunting. But also shooting sports as a whole is being really that niche that is stress relieving. It's something that you can use to put your mind in a focus. But nature as a healing source has become a very big driver for anybody. And being able to do something outside that is able to take away all the stimulation that we have in the world and immerse yourself and be a very healing source for you has been something that I think a lot of people are recognizing, and women as a part of that conversation are realizing that as well.
I think that's great. We're talking to Emily Porter from the Missouri Department of Conservation. What was your path, Emily? What led you to this career, and were you already involved in hunting and all that prior to getting into the Missouri Department of Conservation?
Well, it's interesting. I moved around quite a bit as a kid growing up, and we lived a few different places across the Midwest in a few different states, and I grew up spring turkey hunting, and so seeing that interaction with nature and gobbling at something in the spring and having it gobble back at you was just the biggest excitement for me as a young child. And I got into shooting sports because I was in 4-H. I loved the independence that it required you to have to do. You know, whatever happens is because of you and your skills and the practice that you've put into it. And when I turned 16 and got my driver's license, the world became much bigger. I found that public land was such an outlet for me to learn and to use. And it wasn't like I had to call the landowner the night before to get permission to go. It was available for me. And living so many different places and going to college and being on your own, I found that that was a great outlet for the random schedule that I had and being able to get away from it all while still being a sustainable food source for myself. I was a broke college kid, I think like many people are, and so deer meat became a very big staple in what I did, and waterfowl hunting was something. So that was all part of that story, but really what I do now is hoping to provide and working to provide more access for public land for people, whether that's through partner properties or MDC properties and urban deer hunting, and helping cities with installing an urban deer hunt opportunity for their community, are all things that have really influenced how I got to where I am now.
Excellent.
Very well said. It's a cool story, and I think everybody gets into it a little bit differently. But you know, in the world of social media, everybody's got their nose in their phone. It's a nice break just to put the phone down, go into the woods, and do your thing. But when it comes to social media, there are a whole bunch of females that are influencers in the world of hunting. Christy Lee Cook, notably, was a top 10 finalist for American Idol. She's a huge hunting fan. And matter of fact, she's on the Browning Pro staff team. And I follow her on Instagram, and she's got Twitter and everything else too. But when it comes to, you know, people getting away from their phones, that is an issue. Although now the phones have apps that are, there are some tools that can help you along the way. That's how they get us, you know.
That's it. Yeah.
But you mentioned getting your driver's license, and that was your freedom. And so many people today, so many young people today, don't even have their driver's license at 25, 26 years old. I'm like, how do you do that?
Yeah, I don't know that.
That either. Is freedom, man.
Yes.
But anyway, so your life in the woods has definitely been a positive on your entire being, don't you think?
I would say yes, it is. And you mentioned social media, and as somebody who identifies as less than 35, I definitely use a lot of social media, and I'm a big Instagram user as well. And I think that it's really helped provide that support for each other and showing what you can do. Whether you're a big influencer on Instagram and social media, or you're somebody who's just on there socially, you know, checking in at night after work. Those are things that you can do to support others and show, hey, this is something that you too can do, and that it's accessible. And it's not really, you know, as much as our influencers have all of the nice gear and they have the best of the best equipment, there's still ways to engage and do these activities with a low cost barrier and some of just the easiest, cheapest clothing and equipment you can. And here in Missouri, you know, we mentioned archery hunting earlier. It starts in September 15th, and it's still pretty warm outside, and there's a heck of a lot of daylight. And so for the early season, it doesn't have to be bitter cold. It doesn't have to be miserable weather. It doesn't have to be something that you spend 12 hours doing 10 miles from home. It can be as easy as an hour or two after work on a weeknight with just the simplest equipment and clothing.
Well, you know, I wanted
in your
to
own
mention,
backyard too.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
that's a good point, Emily. I wanted to mention. I know you work in the Kansas City area.
But
I would imagine across the Missouri Department of Conservation, there are similar programs there that there would be here in the greater St. Louis area. Are there programs tailored to women? What are some of the things that you help promote?
There are some programs tailored to women. And so our entire education branch and our shooting range programming that we do, you've got the Bush Shooting Range there and a number of nature centers in the St. Louis area. They provide those programmings for individuals who are looking at getting into conservation activities and recreation or getting into hunting for the first time. We also provide programs for people who are wanting to take it to that next level. So maybe you've had some experience getting into shooting sports and you're familiar with the basics of being outside, but you want to get into maybe a 102 or a little bit further class on what to do and how to make yourself a little bit more successful if you are hunting or shooting. And so checking out our Missouri website, our mdc.mo.gov website, under our event page, and that can list everything from what's closest to you to if there's a specific topic that you're interested in that you're okay with traveling a little ways for, maybe something's in Columbia or up in Hannibal. Those are all programs that are available on our website to sign up for. And the great thing about MDC is that all of our programming is free. So even if you want to come out to the shooting range and you're interested in learning how to shoot for the first time and you need to borrow a gun or you want some instruction, some one-on-one instruction that with your own equipment, those are all things that we can provide. And it's provided to you through MDC for free.
That's great.
That's great. Yeah. Emily Porter of the MDC, Department of Conservation. You know, there's some people, let me just say, men and women that are just, they want nothing to do with guns, with firearms. They don't like the bang. They don't like the recoil. They don't like any of that. And that's where bow hunting could really be something for somebody to investigate. And like you said, social media, if there's something for everybody out there, if you're interested in it, look for that. Because, I mean, to me, bow hunting is so much stealthier. You know, it's quieter. It's to me, it's more personal. And I would encourage, and I don't, without even my encouragement, female bow hunters increased nearly 40% from 05 to 2014, according to the state's recruitment report that they have. So that is really impressive. Are you a bow hunter by in the world?
I am a bow hunter. I'm an avid bow hunter. I love it. And for a lot of the reasons you just mentioned, I mentioned that I grew up turkey hunting and having that interaction with turkeys and having to get them into close range. And bow hunting for me was that similar feeling. It's very instinctual. It's something that challenges you. And there's a lot of respect for what you're harvesting that has to happen so measured. It has to be so precise. And there's so much practice that goes into it. It's a very intimate feeling with nature to be able to bow hunt. And that's one of the biggest things I love. And I can do it close to home. I mentioned those urban bow hunting options. And as somebody who lives in the Kansas City area, there are options across the state even to participate in bow hunting and help with those urban deer management. We have a lot of deer in our city limits, a lot of places.
Here too. We just had a segment on the other day about them trying to trim some of the deer out of our suburban areas over here in the St. Louis area as well. So, Emily, I guess a good clearinghouse for all of this is mdc.mo.gov?
Yes, Yep, that'll take you to anything you need. You can find our contact information. My counterpart in the St. Louis area that is dedicated to the same work is Leif Schweisguth. And I'm going to apologize. I'm not spelling that for you guys this morning. But Leif is a great resource. His information is available online as well. And you can contact any of our offices to get in touch with really what you'd like to do, and we'll put you in the right place.
Yeah, they wouldn't answer when we called them.
No.
That's why we got you. Emily, thanks for joining us on Second Amendment Radio on the Great Outdoors. Good luck hunting, and keep your foot on the gas and encouraging women to get into the shooting sports and hunting.
Hey, thank you all so much.
Yeah, we appreciate that. Happy International Women's Month.
Thank you.
We'll talk again soon. Emily Porter, and that's great. I would love my daughter to do that. She might be, Bo, what you just mentioned. She might prefer a bow over the gun, to be honest.
Sure,
with you. I mean, most women would probably prefer bow. Bo Matthews. Oh, that's...
Well, then, that's a whole nother subject.
It's a whole nother story. We'll get into that next week on Second Amendment Radio on the Great
Will
Outdoors.
Will we really?
Now we will.
Yeah. All right. Have a great rest of your weekend, and thank you for listening to Second Amendment Radio on the Great Outdoors. And please share the show, share the podcast on the Odyssey app.
See you, boys. And,
see you too, ladies.
Get more at 971talk.com.